مرحبا، welcome to episode 53 of Creative Scene. أنا إليان جبر الهوست تبعكم، وهذا البودكاست إنتاج حصري لبوديو. من فترة لفترة بحب بذكر حالي ليه بلشت Creative Scene، وفعلياً الهدف من هذا البودكاست فيه جزء أناني أو لمصلحة شخصية. Creative Scene هي وسيلتي لأتعرف على أبداع العالم العربي. أكيد في كتير عالم مثلي معودين دايماً يلجأوا للغرب for inspiration وحتى ليطلعوا عشو عم بيصير بالعالم، ومنصير ناسين حالنا وناسين كرياتيفيتي بتشبهنا وراكدين نقله لكرياتيفيتي تبع الغرب. إذا كنتوا مثلي، كرياتيف سين لقلكن لتذكروا حالكن مثلي قدي عنا طاقات إبداعية. ما بدي يكون عم شيطن لكرياتيفيتي تبع الغرب وعم أكس عليها، لأن نكون مطلعين وعم نعرف شو عم بيصير حوالينا شي كتير أساسي لنغذي إبداعنا وليكون في diversity بأفكارنا. المشكلة الفعلي إنه تعودنا ما كتير ناخد بعين الاعتبار الكرياتيف سين العربية وتلقائياً شو بيصير. بكل شي منشوفه منسمعه منقراه منكتبه ومنختبره ما منكون ممثلين. We are not represented. ويمكن هون جزء من ضياع هويتنا، أو يمكن عدم وجود أو عدم اكتمال الهوية العربية. ومثل على هيدا الشيء إنه يمكن أنا بلاقي حالي represented أو ممثلة من خلال بنت عايشة بنيويورك أكتر من بنت عايشة بالسودان، وهيدا الصورة يلي براسي هي distorted من كل شيء بسمعه وبشوفه. أهمية نكون ممثلين بالcreative scene بترجع بتنميلنا هويتنا الفردية والجماعية، وبتساعدنا نفهم حالنا من خلال عالم بتشبهنا، حتى لو نحنا بهاللحظة حاسين إنه ما في حدا فعلياً بيمثلنا بالكرياتيف سين العربية. جوابي لحالي وقت أفكر هيك ولقلكن كمان، طلعوا عن جديد. هيدا هو هدف كرياتيف سين. كرياتيف سين هو دعوة لحالي ولقلكن نرجع نتطلع على العالم العربي وعلى ساحته الإبداعية بنظرة جديدة، وأكيد رح نلاقي حالنا ممثلين. Representation أو التمثيل دوره كتير كبير بحياتنا، والتمثيل بيصير من خلال الإبداع، من خلال الموسيقى، الأفلام، الفن، الرقص. بيكفي شوف حدا بيشبهني عم بعيش صعوبات بتشبه صعوباتي، عم بيحكي لغة بتشبه لغتي، لحس إني جزء من قصته أو قصته. الإبداع عنده عنوان سياسي كمان. بتعرفوا كيف وقتها نهتم بموضوع جديد، كيف بتكرج مواضيع شبيهة ومنكتشف العالم قدي واسع حتى لو نحنا مفكرينه أضيق. عملوا تجربة صغيرة، فوتوا على نتفليكس واحضروا فيلم أو نوع فيلم ما بتحضروه عادة، وفجأة بتكرج أفلام شبيهة وبتفتح مغارة علي بابا. أنا هيك صار معي، صار لي فترة مهتمة بأفلام عربية. من فترة حضرت You Will Die at 20، هو فيلم سوداني، وفجأة فتحت السينما السودانية بوجهي. الفيلم highly recommended وفيكن تلاقوه على نتفليكس. شفت من فترة قصيرة بوست على انستغرام لشورت فيلم بعنوان حفني التمر أو A Handful of Dates. فيلم قصير من إخراج هاشم حسن، هو adaptation لشورت ستوري من كتابة الطيب صالح. معي اليوم المخرج هاشم حسن ومنتج الفيلم ممدوح صالح لنحكي أكثر عن الفيلم. ديسكليمر، رح يكون الحلقة أكتر بالإنجليزي لأنه هاشم وممدوح مرتاحين أكتر باللغة الإنجليزية. هاي هاشم، هاي ممدوح، ويلكم تو كرياتيف سين.
Thank you for having us.
أهلا، السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام. قبل ما نبلش حديثنا، before talking about the film, can you please introduce yourself and how did your collaboration start in A Handful of Dates?
Yeah, sure. My name is Hashim Hassan. I'm a Sudanese Mexican-American living in California. I had initially read Tayyip Saleh in university, where I was also working in theater, working in a local theater group with, that's where I met Mamdouh. He was the president of this group, and we started our collaboration at that time. And that continued after college and when we both were living in LA and I was attending film school. And after graduating from film school, that's when I approached Mamdouh about collaborating on A Handful of Dates.
Mm-hmm. Mamdouh, can you introduce yourself as well?
Yes, thank you. My name is Mamdouh Abdelmunam Saleh, and I was born in Sudan. and I was raised in Los Angeles. I'm currently now in Arizona. And I studied film and theater at the University of California in Santa Barbara. And afterwards, I continued with my craft in filmmaking and video production. And when Hashim came to me with the idea to adapt Tayyib Saleh's Hifnat Tamr to a film, at that particular point, I thought he was a little crazy for the idea, just given the circumstances of where we were in our lives, just struggling artists living in Los Angeles, and what the social and political climate was like in Sudan, and what the filmmaking scene was like there. So I really, that's what I told him. I said, you know what, I think this is crazy. But it was such a crazy idea that I jumped right on it. I thought it was wonderful at the same time. And, you know, we took on the project and here we are.
I would like to know, before starting to talk about Hifnat Tamr, why did you both decide to, you know, study film as a creative format?
Yeah, well, I had come from a very educated family. My father was an engineer. My brother and sister were both much older, but both doctors. And I was, you know, as the younger child, I was allowed to kind of explore a little more. I think my parents, or my father specifically, was a little more lenient with me in terms of what I wanted to study. And so, you know, very young, at around 12 or 13, I started taking theater classes, and that continued through high school and also through university, where I also, you know, met Mamdouh. And that was sort of the foundation as an actor when it came to filmmaking. And I tried to continue that in LA with the acting, but I don't think I was ready at that time for what LA was like as an actor. And I decided to, because I had always loved films ever since I was a kid. And we were a family that watched a lot of films growing up. We would go to the rental store and rent movies. And so, you know, that was a huge part of my world. And I decided to take on directing after theater, just because I was more interested in the craft. I wanted to have more control in terms of storytelling. And yeah, so theater was the basis, and that continues to be a huge part of my, you know, artistic endeavors, acting as well.
How about you, Mamdouh?
Yeah, for me, growing up, I was always a little artist, but I never realized that that's what I wanted to do in my life, or that's where my calling was. And actually, it was a series of coincidences that made me go into this field. So it was really meant to be. As a little kid, I had a lot of Thundercat toys, and I would always play with them, and I would make these like narratives and episodics and stuff. And, you know, I love to draw, and I love to act like people. People would always, my family would always ask me to act like your uncle and act like your grandfather and things like that. Actually, I guess I can kind of briefly kind of tell the story, but there was a random letter that it was like a piece of junk mail letter that came into our home, and it was for an acting class. And my mom opened it and she said, "Hey, you know what? Maybe you should try these acting classes." So at first I was like, "No, I don't want to. I don't really want to do this. This is not what I think I want to do." But she kind of insisted. She said, "No, I think this would be good for you." And she always liked that we would do like extracurricular things and just try different things out. So I went and I really enjoyed it. But then, so that was my senior year in high school. And then afterwards, when we went into college, I didn't think that that was what I was going to do. I was an engineering major. I wanted to do something that had to do with like civil engineering or something. I had no clue of what it was or what engineering was. I was never really good at math. Again, it was a coincidence that one of my friends randomly saw me in one of the dorms, and he said, "Hey, do you want to go watch a theater show at the local theater here at school?" And I said, "No, I don't want to go watch a theater show." And he insisted that I come with him. And so I went with him and I watched the show, and it was the theater company that I actually became a part of, because one of the people in there asked me if I act, and I told him, "No, I don't act." But he said, "Hey, you look like you can act. You should try to audition for this." And so the universe just kept pushing me towards this. And I said, "You know what? Okay, I have some experience in doing some acting from the acting classes that my mother took me to." So I did the audition and they really loved it. And I joined the group, and it turned out to be the best thing in my life. And, you know, the next year I became the president, or a couple of years into it. And I was the president for, you know, a couple of years, and I led the group and we did shows, and it was just an amazing experience. Mm. And so that's how I got into it. I became a film studies major because of that. And then my career continued after college with that.
That's a nice story. So you told us about Hashim coming to you, Mamdouh, with the idea to adapt Hafnat Tamer to a film, and you said, "No, that's crazy." So I wanted to know more about from you, Hashim, on what really caught your attention in Hafnat Tamer, A Handful of Dates, and why did you decide to adapt a story that was written in 57 and published in 64, and why did you think it's relevant now to adapt this story to a short film?
Yeah, so as I mentioned previously, at UC Santa Barbara, I was a Middle East studies major, and I took my first modern Arabic literature class, and that's where I was introduced to Tayyip Saleh's works, specifically Season of Migration to the North.
Yeah.
And in that book, I thought it not only was it very visually poetic in the way that he was describing the scenes, but I thought thematically it was very relevant to my life. And he tends to write about characters who are dealing with these identity crises, the idea of, you know, Tayyip Saleh being born in Sudan, being born in northern Sudan, but, you know, eventually his education taking him to Britain, and his experience being sort of this bi-national, you know, bi-cultural character was such an influence in terms of the writing of his characters. And I think in every one of his stories, he deals with this theme of identity crisis, of not feeling totally in place in either culture, being this hybrid identity. And for me, growing up in California with an American Mexican mother, with a Sudanese immigrant father, you know, with a father that tried so hard to kind of instill his cultural values that he brought from Sudan, you know, this was a source of conflict at times in my life. And I thought that this was reflected really well in Tayyip Saleh's stories. I also felt like the themes of intergenerational, intercultural conflict between the young and the old was very relevant too. And it's something that we still see to this day. It's something that's a timeless tale that we see, you know, and as an Arab American, you know, it's something that we contend with our parents and growing up in this culture in the West. And I thought Tayyip Saleh's work spoke to me on that level. And specifically when it came to Hafnat Tamer, it dealt with these themes, and it also dealt with them in a much shorter format than, say, you know, Season of Migration or some of his other stories that would lend themselves better to a feature film. And at that time in my life, I didn't think I was, you know, prepared to take on a feature film. And I thought that, you know, A Handful of Dates was a much more manageable, you know, story to make into a short film.
Yeah. And how about you, Mamdouh? You told us that you thought initially that this idea was crazy. What made you change your mind?
Yes, for me personally, أنا كان عندي رغبة في الوقت in that time. I had a very strong desire to make films from the MENA region somehow. For Middle East, North Africa. اوكي فريلي كان عندي رغبه انه ارجع واعمل افلام باللغه العربيه وانتج افلام يا اما في السودان او في العالم العربي او في العالم الافريقي وكده. ف me and Hashim, we actually took a trip to the Middle East. We went to the Gulf region actually to go explore بعض المهرجانات السينمائية. ومشينا أخذنا الرحلة دي في سنة 2012 ولا أفتكر 2012. We took the trip to go explore what opportunities were there. And we really, you know, we fell in love with the region and we really liked what we saw. And so again, I just had this desire always after graduating that somehow, some way, I need to make films or tell stories that connected me with my roots and my history and my traditions. فرجعنا أخذنا الرحلة ولما رجعنا أمريكا أنا كنت I was sure that I wanted to do something like that. I just did not know what. So when Hashim came with that idea, even though I thought it was crazy, كان بالنسبة لي مناسبة جدا في الوقت يعني اللي كنا فيه ذاك إنه أنا أعمل حاجة زي دي في السودان و تكون يعني باللغة العربية بثقافتنا والأدب السوداني والطيب صالح. It just fit perfectly and molded perfectly what I wanted to do at that time.
By the way, personally, I didn't know about طيب صالح before watching حفنة تمر. And just before coming to the studio, I went and bought موسم الهجرة إلى الشمال. So I'm really excited to get to know, as I was saying in my introduction, Creative Scene is a personal, selfish a need to get to know the creative scene from the Arab world. So thank you so much for letting me know about Tayyib Saleh and letting me and watching, you know, حفنة تمر. And it's a really, really lovely short film.
Thank you.
So
appreciate it.
So حفنة تمر is now participating in a lot of festivals, and it has won a number of awards, jury award for creative achievement in 2021 Arizona Film Festival, and the award of excellence at the best shorts competition. What does it mean to you to be internationally recognized? And do you think حفنة تمر getting these awards will help putting Sudan back? And I'm saying back because I know at some point Sudan was producing cinema. What does it mean to you to help putting Sudan back on the cinema map in the world?
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, Mamdouh and I always spoke about the film being sort of a cultural you know, phenomenon in many ways, and having sort of that international scope from the very beginning. We talked about, you know, the potential the film had to, you know, put Sudanese storytelling, literature, culture on the map. And that was a huge motivating factor for us, because as you said, you know, Sudan went through a lot of political, social, economic instability over the last 30, 40 years. And with that, the art and culture scene really went into decline. And so this was an opportunity to, you know, kind of use our background as filmmakers and actors to help give back to Sudan and also reconnect with our roots. And, you know, yeah, it feels great. We never necessarily knew that the film would go on to receive awards like this. We knew in our own minds that we were proud of it and that we had done our best, you know, the best job that we possibly could have, considering the resources we had. And so that would have been enough, I think, for us. But for it to have gone on and received these accolades, I mean, yeah, it's a dream come true. And with that, also helping put Sudanese cinema on the map, along with other Sudanese filmmakers, as you mentioned earlier, you know, Amjad Dabourila with You Will Die at 20, mm-hmm. Talking About Trees, Suhaib Gasmanvari, and a number of others. So we feel like we're part of a collective of new young filmmakers from Sudan who are, you know, kind of putting Sudanese storytelling on the map. And it's a proud moment for all of us, just considering the years of, you know, decline the country has been in when it came to the art and culture scene. So very happy and excited to be a part of this. And we look forward to seeing what else comes out of Sudan in the future, because, you know, these precedents, these films, you know, really set a precedent for storytelling in general. And I think that now that more people can see the potential, you know, you'll see more filmmakers and more films coming out of Sudan, which is very exciting.
Yeah. I want to know more, Kamen, about your opinion about, how cinema affects representation, and how by being truly represented in cinema, by truly representing Arab people and the diversity of Arab people, how does it, you know, affect the overall creative scene from your point of view?
Yeah, sure. Mamdurti, do you want to answer that? Or?
Yeah, I can kind of get the ball rolling for you, and then I think you can take it from there. This is... something maybe that I want to say in Arabic just for the viewers and audiences, because I think it's really important, or maybe I can kind of go back and forth and translate. لكن نحن عملنا المشروع يعني عملنا الفيلم كمشروع ثقافي واجتماعي. الآثار الثقافية للفيلم هي في مضمون القصة. اللي هي جاية من الأديب السوداني العالمي طيب صالح، وهي تعكس علينا ولا تنعكس من خلالها أوجه الثقافة والتراث والتقاليد والآداب السودانية، فدي حاجة مهمة جداً كانت بالنسبة لنا، إنه الثقافة تكون مزروعة في الفيلم عشان يلا كان مشروع اجتماعي. طبعا لما الفيلم يتم عرضه محليا بالسودان ودوليا كمان يعني، وبعدين حاولنا نكون في أي مهرجان، يعني نخش في أي مهرجان، لأنه بالمهرجانات السينمائية يتيح علينا الفرصة إنه نخش في علاقات وتبادل ثقافي مع يعني ثقافات تانية أخرى وبلاد تانية قد لا يكون عندها الفرصة إنها تتعرف على الثقافة السودانية الأصيلة الحقيقية. ف this was important for us, إنه نحن we engage in cultural exchange with other cultures and with other countries and whatnot. So when I mean that's what filmmaking does when you're able to go to international levels. You are able to engage in this cultural exchange with other people that may not know about the culture. So we're sitting there and we're doing all kinds of Zooms, and we are before the COVID-19, we were, for example, at the Pan-African Film Festival, and here we are talking about Tayyib Saleh, talking about Sudan, talking about the culture, talking about our traditions and our history, which is something great. It's something really, really wonderful. So that was one of our goals as well. And so I think it's also important, يعني the filmmakers to have that sort of an outlook that this is more than just a film. This is a platform for you to engage in cultural change and to really engage with audiences that may not know about the culture that you are from.
Yeah. And can I just wanted to continue off of that. I think growing up in the West, I think there has been very common representations of Arabs and Arab people that have been very one-dimensional. Obviously, there's the, you know, the famous terrorist, you know, trope or the oppressed woman or the shopkeeper, you know. So we grew up with these images in Hollywood in the West. And you know, so being able to tell your own stories is really important. I mean, for any group that has been historically underrepresented, misrepresented in the West. And, you know, so that was a big motivating factor for me, too, you know, especially growing up in the shadow of 9/11 and Islamophobia in the West, like being able to venture out and kind of tell your own stories is, I think, is really powerful. And as going back to your question about politics and having a political point of view, I think any piece of art has a particular, because it represents a point of view, it is inherently political. Yeah. And I even think in the context of Arab countries, whether it's Sudan or Lebanon, there are certain values that get instilled from a political standpoint, right? And so cinema can offer another interpretation or another voice or another way to challenge sort of like, you know, very common, I guess, you know, very narrow ideas about what it means to be Sudanese, what it means to be Lebanese, what it means to be a woman, you know? And so even within the countries themselves, it challenges certain power structures, you know? And through empathizing with a character that is seemingly different from you, you know? And, you know, honestly, I didn't really know that much about Arab films growing up. And it wasn't until university that I started discovering Yusuf Shaheen and films from Lebanon and Palestine. And it kind of offered me a different perspective. But yeah, just to wrap that up, in the West and also within Arab countries themselves, cinema provides an outlet for, you know, voices that haven't necessarily normally been heard, you know, especially in a country like Sudan that has been going through such a, you know, a military dictatorship, essentially, that, you know, was very difficult to create under those conditions. So, yeah, it means a lot. It definitely means a lot. Yeah.
So Hafna Tamer now is not available yet for the public. So I wanted to know why did you decide to not put it out there for the public? For the time being, and is there any plans to have it available?
Usually, short films are not money making ventures like long form films or feature films are. So, يعني ما أفلام تجارية ما بتقدر تتاجر بالأفلام القصيرة. So, what happens is they are mainly for exposure and also for experience. And sometimes, you know, other filmmakers also make, some established filmmakers make short films, but, you know, in rare cases and for specific purposes. Yeah. Lakin, in order for us to maximize the effect or the impact for us personally of the film in terms of gaining the experience of going through the festivals and just really seeing, really trying to get the film shown and really trying to get our names out there as well. Usually you want to go through the film festival circuit. Mm-hmm. So the film festivals are annual. Yeah. Okay. المهرجانات يعني سنوية. They're every year. Usually these film festivals are. So usually the film will go through a year or sometimes less. Lakin usually a year of going through the film festivals. And then after that, you find the platform to put your film in, whether it's on your website or on Vimeo or YouTube, then you can just share it publicly And of course, it's for free. It's very hard to sell short films. And again, they're not really business ventures. So as of right now, we're rounding out the end of the film festival run. We've been in it for about a year. And because of the COVID, there have been some delays in some of the festivals. Lakin, right now, it's towards the end of it. And we have about maybe a couple of more months. There's a couple of film festivals that are coming up. And then after that, it goes on just public platforms. It can go on any sometimes cultural centers, sometimes educational institutions, museums, events, certain events. And, you know, sometimes they want to show the film and it will be our pleasure just to give them the film so they can show it. But it will be available publicly maybe in the fall, maybe early fall. So maybe a couple, few more months and it'll be available. Otherwise, whoever wants to watch can follow us on social media, and we usually, you know, they'll know where, what platform the film is screening in terms of which festival or which region it's screening in.
Yeah, awesome. Tab, to wrap up our conversation, and for all the people who haven't read the short story and didn't watch the short film yet, can you give us like a small description on what to expect whenever the film will be available? So the story is about?
Yeah, the story is a coming of age story, and also can be interpreted as a sort of a loss of innocence tale. And it focuses on a young boy living in a northern Sudanese village whose grandfather is a very well-respected, recognized landowner in the village, and who the boy has this almost like godlike idolation for. He sort of looks up to him as this kind of perfect being. And our particular story, or in our adaptation, it takes place in a single day. And once you establish, you know, the boy's relationship with his grandfather, you find out that his grandfather has been not the most merciful man, not the most righteous man, and when it's coming to his business dealings, specifically when it comes to this poor farmer named Mas'ud, who the boy has a liking toward because of his, you know, his perspective on life. And so his, you know, the boy kind of realizes, you know, that his grandfather isn't all who he made him out to be.
Yeah. I really, really...
Can I attempt to translate that?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. And thank you for that.
let me try. I'll try. So, في قرية ود حامد يعيش طفل صغير حياة ومثالية ويستغرق ذكريات متتالية. أي الشيء الوحيد الذي ويحب حياة القرية جدا جدا وكل سكان القرية يحبونه. والشيء الوحيد الذي فاق حبه لحياة القرية هو تبجيله العميق لجده الذي هو شيخ محترما ومن ملاك الأراضي المرموقين في القرية. لكن ظاهرة حياة الهناء عند هذا الطفل تبدأ تتلاشى عند اكتشافه للتاريخ المزعج والمضطرب لخلف ثروة جده. وذلك المزارع البشوش الذي فقد ثروته أيضا. ف that's it.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you so much, Mamdouh, and thank you so much, Hashem, for this lovely conversation. And thank you for letting me watch Hafta Tamer. I really, really enjoy it and can't wait for it to be out there for the public. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having
us. Thank you, Ilyan, for having us. It was really our pleasure.
Yeah.
مشكورين جدا.
إذا بدكم تفاصيل أكثر عن البودكاست شوفوا الويب سايت creativescene.me وإنستغرام creativescene podcast وشارت مع عالم that might like it. كان معكم إليان جبر، شوفكم جمعة الجاي.